Hello, hello, hello. Hey, everybody. This is Tiffany Carlson, and you are listening to the latest episode of No Free Rides, a disability podcast sponsored by EasyStand.com. Some of the best standing frames in the world. I'm a little biased, but checking them out, EasyStand.com. So, hey, everybody. Today is July 7th, 2014, and thank you so much for tuning in and hearing our latest podcast for both beautyability.com and EasyStand. We have a super, very cool guest today. Her name is Chanda Hinton, and she is the founder of the Chanda Plan, an amazing organization out in Denver helping people with disabilities across the country get access, free access to alternative health therapies like massage, acupuncture, yoga, and other things, and they are changing the lives of thousands of people. And Chanda is an amazing soul in person, and I have been a fan of hers for years, so I am over the moon, so excited that she is going to be on our podcast. So stay tuned for a couple of minutes, and she will be on. But first, everybody, I have a cosplay, wheelchair cosplaying. I went out last weekend to a Comic Con here in Minnesota, and I dressed up as Oracle from Batman. Now, if you are a person with a disability, you should know who Oracle is. She is, well, she was Batgirl, also known as Barbara Gordon. And in 1989, the Batman comic writers decided to have the Joker shoot and paralyze Barbara Gordon, so she became paraplegic, and so she could no longer really do the Batgirl activities, right? So she decided to change her name to Oracle and become a computer hacker extraordinaire, computer genius, really. And she lives in a clock tower with her computer and three really badass chicks, which she calls the birds of prey, her birds of prey, that she sends out on crime-fighting missions. All the while, Oracle hangs out on her computer with her red hair and black glasses and sexy tight tops and computer technology all over the place. So I was Oracle at the sci-fi convention, so I had my old laptop on my lap and my headset on, and I bought a very expensive wig, probably too expensive, and it was a blast. The funny thing is, when you cosplay as a wheelchair user, people are still nervous to take your picture or to approach you. I noticed that several times, so it kind of makes me sad. But I still had a blast. And if you are interested in cosplaying and you use a wheelchair, I am the person to ask. So if you have any questions about costumes and how to act and what you should know, definitely ask me. I love doing it. I think it's a great way to escape from reality. And hey, we can't always wait for Halloween. So I had a blast. Oh, and I also dressed up as Lady Chewbacca and a Star Trek officer from Star Trek, Janice Rand. An amazing show, Star Trek. I'm a total nerd, right? So yeah, very fun. So I want to say though, it's summer. I know wherever you're at, maybe it's winter, maybe you're in Australia, but I hope that you're doing well and that you're healthy and that you're happy. And our guest today is going to help you get into a better place if you feel like you could be healthier, because, well, Chanda, she knows a thing or two about living healthy. And so very excited. So stay tuned. We're going to bring her on in a couple of seconds. Hello, everybody. As I mentioned earlier, we have a guest I'm very excited to speak with. Her name is Chanda Hinton, and she's married. She's got a new last name. I forget how to pronounce it, but when she joins us, she can give us her last name. But she's an amazing woman, and she's been disabled for a bit longer than I have been. But she's doing this amazing health kind of revolution down there in Colorado, and I think if you're disabled and you haven't heard about her yet, this is an awesome opportunity to kind of blow your mind open. So without further ado, hello Chanda, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Tiff.
Hello, wow, this is so awesome to actually talk with you. I have been on your website and I've actually written a bio about you before, so it's really great to hear you and be talking with you. How are you today?
I'm very good, thank you, and thank you so much for asking
Oh yeah, you know, we always try to have interesting people with disabilities, sometimes spinal cord injuries. So this is very, very exciting. So for everyone out there listening, Chanda was has a spinal cord injury, but I haven't actually told the audience how you were injured. So I kind of was going to let you explain that to everybody. So if you don't mind sharing your injury story with us.
Absolutely. So I am 32 now, but when I was 9 years old, I was accidentally shot in the back of the neck. So I technically have a spinal cord injury, quad, and my level is between C5 and C6. So my emotion and sensation and is really from the armpits up. But obviously, as I might go on more, there's a lot below that level of injury that we all with disabilities need to explore. And I'm excited to talk more about that at
I
the
know, me too.
that's my injury.
Well, that's interesting. You were injured so young, and I know I was reading some stuff about you online, and you were saying that, you know, in many ways you feel like it kind of was nice or better or easier, I guess is the right word, to adjust to living with a disability because you were younger. And can is do you believe that? Is that true?
And I always believe in, to each of their own, and we all have different experiences based off of our social and support networks that we have. But for me, I felt that I had, it was much easier as a child because I didn't have a lot of external commitments that I really had to worry about other than just worrying about my particular injury and recovery. And so, I wasn't married, I didn't have children, I didn't have a job. It was kind of like a much lighter situation, given I didn't have to really also think about those things and how do I give to those things while also kind of coming to terms with my spinal cord injury and looking and defining my rehabilitation while also trying to do all of that.
Yeah, how was it like
It's
a
very debated conversation because I run into folks that have been injured as an adult, and they feel very opposite. They feel that as an adult, it's been much easier for them versus as a child. So
Yeah, I know.
it's in the eye of the beholder, right? And
It totally is, but I'm very curious to learn what was going on in the mind of the 9-year-old Chanda when all of this happened.
children, I think that you're a sponge, obviously. You're a sponge of how those that react around you, and you kind of absorb the reaction from others. And so my response to paralysis as a 9-year-old was very delightful, was very not delightful in the sense that, oh my goodness, I'm so delighted that I have a spinal cord injury, but I really took it as like, here this is, and this is what I got to deal with. But again, my mother was a huge, huge instrument in this entire process, in the sense of
That's great.
always telling me that it happened for a purpose. And I know that a lot of us can live in that space. It really worked for me as a child,
That's good.
and just reminding me that I had some really big things prepared in the future for me. And right now, we might not know what this means, but much later in life, we will. And I feel that what I do today in my life is really, is a testimonial to, that kind of mantra that she gave to me as a child that was, next to my bed through my entire paralysis until I graduated from high school.
Were you, did you have a good, like a group of friends and stuff as you went through elementary school and high school?
I did, and I find myself to be very lucky because I read and I research and I just look at all of the bullying that exists in our societies and
I
our
know.
communities now, and it's just so heartbreaking to see that, despite disability or not, there's so much of that. And I was really fortunate to have none of that within my experience, other than the general like bullying that we have that comes with or without the disability. And so I had a really amazing group of friends, and they knew me for Chanda. They never knew me as, oh, the girl in the wheelchair. It was always Chanda. And the wheelchair kind of dissolved over time,
That's great.
and that was really beautiful, and I love that experience. And obviously, getting into adulthood, that shifted for me, and I had to realize that not everybody knew me as Chanda, that they did, in the beginning, look at me as like the the woman in the wheelchair until I created
Yep.
my own kind of space within my community where, again, people then started to see me as Shana, but that takes time within community, and it takes patience and, flexibility to...
Were you born...
I remember there was one particular story, and I think others might be able to... one of the mantras of the things that my mom always said to me when I was even injured into this day, she would always say, if people are staring at you, you have to pretend like you're a rock star. Like, they're staring at you because you're such a rock star, and your autograph, and they're scared to ask you. And so I really got through a lot of, like, uncomfortable situations that really... and as a child, you have to be creative with those kinds of things because you can get down, you gotta twist it, or you can not twist it, and those all lead into being, you know, a healthy, happy life, or a really sad and not so healthy life.
And you went to school in Colorado, right?
Yeah, right out of high school, I moved to Colorado and got my undergrad at the University of Denver.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how come you chose Denver as your school or your location of choice for college?
For me, it was, number one, I really wanted to get out of Nebraska. I felt that there was a lot more in the world than what a rural community could provide me in relationship to my spinal cord injury. And so when it comes to accessibility, to access to, better health choices,
true.
It was just really important for me to gravitate towards that versus staying in a space where none of that was available or wasn't even accessible. And so me going to a grocery store, I can do independently.
Yeah.
In rural Nebraska, that would have been pretty difficult. And my sister already lived out in Colorado, so that also made it, in terms of having a social network support, so that if something came up, I still had a family member nearby.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
Support me if something came up, yeah.
Was your mom a bit sad to see you move away?
Yeah, I think she obviously was with that with all of us kids. I think that her and I, we had a very, very strong bond not by choice given the situation, but it's meant a lot to both of us. But I think it was a little bit harder for her to see me go, just because she was so concerned about, was the person that was going to take care of me once I was no longer with her going to do just as good as her? Because, she was feared out of her mind when I was first injured about pressure sores, and I had been in the hospital a lot for urinary tract infections.
Yeah.
It's scary to say that she had the ability to support those things, but then when you go away, was I going to take self-responsibility, but was anybody around me going to be able to really support me the way that she did? And so it was really scary for her.
Oh, I can't imagine being the mom. I mean, it must be very difficult having... see your daughter. I mean, I think of trying to put myself in my mom's shoes too, and I can't imagine how hard it's been for our moms. But does your mom come visit you often at least, or?
Yeah, I see her all the time. That's... We do. It's great to have our space, and we see each other a lot. She's out here, and I'm seeing you a lot. I go to see her as often as I can. She's actually a huge donor of the Chain of Friends Foundation.
Fabulous.
As well as, put on a golf tournament for the organization. So it's just,
that's great.
We make sure that we see each other probably every other month if possible, and then we're probably on the phone every week, which
I love
that. How healthy that is. It feels really good, I love her dearly, and I think that she's picked up a lot of my energy, and she's now not having to. I'm married, and so she feels very safe with my husband because my husband is very amazing as well. And so I think that she's now living a life that she really didn't get to live, because I'm sure you've talked about caregivers in the world. I think just there isn't enough resources and support for the caregivers in the world.
No, there's not.
I see my mother now, and she's just like on a golf league and, on the board of directors for Habitat for Humanity. And
wow, good for her.
Yeah. Doing all these amazing things that she never had time to do when I was there. And so it's really awesome to actually see her live her life.
So the presence of a man in your life is really what's basically calmed her fears.
I know, right?
Is that truly it, honestly?
I don't think that's really it.
Okay, because that gives me no hope whatsoever. I'm 35 and single, so.
No. She does it make her comfortable? Absolutely. But that's not at all the basis of her feeling comfortable, because she knows that I take self-responsibility in my wellness and my health care and all the things that I do with my body. So if I were single or married, still have the comfort based on who I am in the world and who I choose to be. But every mother's dream.
I know it is. Your husband's very, very cute, by the way. Oh my gosh. So, but let's talk about, you moved to Denver, and then unfortunately, your health did go not very well for a while, which made you finally, found this amazing foundation. So, why don't you tell us what the heck happened? What made you get skinnier? Like, what was that point where you ended up getting not very healthy?
Yeah, in the beginning, I really didn't know what it was, because when you have chronic pain come on so severely, it was just kind of so sudden, and at the same time, it felt like something internal was going on, maybe like a kidney stone or my liver. I felt like something internal was really causing this chronic pain, and so as I started getting chronic pain, because from 9 years old until I was 21, which is when I started having the chronic pain, I basically, sat in my wheelchair and then consumed medication for every secondary condition that I was having from my spinal cord injury, which, I mean, I'm sure some people listening are familiar with that, like your spinal cord injury is like this primary condition, and your, the secondary conditions like the muscle atrophy and the bladder and the bowel, all those, complications that that exist are the secondary conditions that are caused by that. And so, just over time, what I found out is that there wasn't really one specific thing that was happening to my body, but rather it was my body's overutilization of the Western medicine in terms of medication. Because with the chronic pain, they put me on Percocet, which was just another medication to calm down that chronic pain, but it obviously didn't work. And so, what we found out is that we had just been for the longest time approaching my spinal cord injury by overutilizing the Western medicine options. And so when you look at that, it's kind of like, well, what other options are there? And so my sister, who's a yoga instructor and had been studying alternative and integrative therapies for several years, has suggested that we do that, because as you just indicated, I got down to 59 pounds.
Was that because you just weren't hungry or what?
Well, yeah, because when I started taking the Percocet, while one worked a day, I eventually got up to four Percocets a day. So my stomach
Oh
was
gosh.
absolutely wrecked. So I
Oh.
couldn't even eat, because if I ate, the stomach lining was kind of like eaten away. So the
Oh.
food would like literally like burn my stomach, my
Oh.
internal stomach.
Wow.
So I became bedbound. I wasn't eating. And that's when my sister got home and saw how emaciated I was,
Yeah.
and called my mom, and she went into the emergency room. And so
Oh
I
my
was
gosh.
admitted for an entire month, but within
Wow.
that entire month, I was being fed intravenously or
Wow.
through IVs, as well as through a G tube. They put in a G tube, and I had to be there for a month until I was able to get up to a certain weight and try to figure out like where that chronic pain was, and again, still not finding it. Then redefining, like, okay, if we're getting Shannon to a stable position with feeding her through IVs and feeding her through a G tube, what's going to happen when we get her stable again? Do we throw her out in the world and just make her sit in a wheelchair and consume medication? Because that's what made me in the hospital. So why do this vicious cycle of her coming back? It's gonna make her come back. And so when my sister produced the idea of doing acupuncture and massage and chiropractic, and those things just absolutely worked and absolutely changed my life.
So right away, did you notice a difference?
Yeah, I went to my very first acupuncture. I went there, it was $60, and I went in there, I laid down, needles put in certain spots. It was not the acupuncture that we all see on the TV in terms of needles everywhere. So I didn't know what to expect, but I was able to have the treatment engagement, and the first time in 3 years, I wheeled out of the room and I had zero pain.
Wow.
And I looked at my sister and I called my mom and I was like, I can't believe that for the amount of experts that I've had surrounding my condition in terms of my spinal cord injury and all of these, the chronic pain and all these other secondary conditions, that this preventative and this integrative way of using acupuncture, massage, and chiropractic wasn't shared with me until I had to be forced to potentially, hopefully, die to find out another way of living. And that was a really aha moment for me and kind of really sparked the work that I and other people within the Chain of Kind Foundation do as of today.
That's so cool. What did you do? So you first started with acupuncture, and then your sister was doing yoga, and so she started doing yoga with you one-on-one, or did you feel like going to a class, and or how did that evolve, the yoga aspect?
The yoga aspect came a little bit later, so it was the acupuncture, the massage that were the first two pieces.
Cool.
And then slowly the chiropractic was brought in, as well as the adaptive yoga.
Love it.
And so, okay. And I don't know, I can introduce you to a good friend of mine, Matthew Sanford.
I know Matthew. We're very good friends. I'm in his video, actually. If you watch his video, I'm the blonde in it, so.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I've been doing adapted yoga for like 7 years, and I love it. So we can talk about adapted yoga all day long, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew Sanford is amazing, and I saw, actually, that you're doing the Wounded Warriors thing too, with adapted yoga for veterans. Are you working on anything? No.
We don't. You know, my sister's done a few. Has done a few up in the mountains with Wounded Warriors and having them do adaptive yoga.
Okay.
But the Chain of Plant Foundation in particular has not done.
Okay, I think I'm sorry. I think I was just reading that you're taking what Matthew Sanford used for Wounded Warriors and you're adapting some of his teachings and using them at your studio, right?
Yeah, and we're not just taking his Wounded Warriors information. We're taking he has level one, level two, level three, and so my sister has gone through all those levels.
Great.
We use him as basically like kind of our criteria of what consists of allowing people with yoga to be touching the bodies of those with long-term disability. So, for example, if we are going to fund any adaptive yoga for an individual, then that yoga instructor has to have had some sort of teaching through Matthew Sanford, just because we believe so much in his principles, and, you know, he's the one with the body with paralysis and the adaptive yoga. So we lean to him for the expertise, and then allow the adaptive yoga to work on the individual and fund that if they've been able to learn through him.
So the Chanda Plan, as when you founded it, what was your initial goal for the foundation?
So our initial goals were really around policy and advocacy to create systemic change.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means, because people are like, well, what the hell does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is looking at Medicaid, because Medicaid, for a significant amount of the folks with spinal cord injuries, they're on either some sort of Medicaid, Medicare alone. And so we wanted to understand why Medicaid was not funding preventative therapy such as acupuncture, massage, and chiropractic to not only improve the quality of life with folks living with long-term disabilities and have to rely on Medicaid for the home health and all the additional services that are needed, but keeping them healthy is very cost-effective in addition to quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that systemic change and idea, we were able to pass a bill in Colorado which now produce a spinal cord injury waiver.
That's awesome.
And basically, it's a pilot program that is doing research on people with spinal cord injury utilizing acupuncture, massage, and chiropractic for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
That we have an independent evaluator that's looking at the cost effectiveness of those individuals on the waiver, as well as their quality of life. And with that, we can, as an organization, we can change the system to say, oh yes, this is cost effective, it does improve quality of life, and therefore it should be a benefit. It should no longer be a pilot program research, but rather it should roll in to becoming a benefit to expand across additional how demographic populations, meaning not just people with spinal cord injuries, and geographically, not just within the Denver metro area, and becoming a more sustainable way for people with long-term disabilities to maintain wellness versus just sitting in their wheelchairs and consuming medications day after day. And so that's our primary vision and goal and what we've done around the initial work of the foundation.
When does the pilot program end?
It's supposed to end in July of 2015.
Okay.
However, we're going to expand it to another 5 years.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, with support with Colorado Medicaid, just because working with government is never timely. And so while we've worked with them, we've not gotten enough data the first 2 years. And so, therefore, we only really have 1 year of data. And so it's not enough to say whether it's cost effectiveness or improved quality of life. So we want to renew it with their support and a sponsor at the legislation, which is all set up to go in January of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
That will then go all the way out to 2020.
So anyone who lives in the state of Colorado can be part of this, or has a disability, or do they only allow so many people?
Yeah, they only allow a certain amount of people. It's up to 67 right now, and it's in the Denver metro area, which only includes 5 counties within that area, and is limited to people with spinal cord injuries. But again, we had to keep it very narrow and focused, so that way, when it's narrow and focused within geographic and demographic, then we can get really concrete results and then expand it beyond that.
But
we start throwing in a lot more factors and variables, we probably won't end up with the best results, which then doesn't create a change. It won't amount to any sort of result.
Well, it's a big deal that I think you guys even got that pilot program, because that must have been a lot of work to even get the lot legislators there to agree to that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the tricks that we had up our sleeve was that we did propose that if it was passed, it would be funded by gift grants and donations.
Oh, awesome.
The reason that we did that is because we knew that Medicaid was not going to say, oh, yes, we're going to take this on and fund it. And so therefore, the Chain of Plan Foundation and a foundation that gave us $50,000,
awesome.
We were able to then give the state $81,000 for the administrative costs related to the pilot program.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're technically paying for the acupuncture, massage, and chiropractic, but we have to pay for the administrative costs. So we feel like it's a very good investment, because if we can pay for the administrative costs now and prove to them that it works, and then when it rolls out to a benefit, then we no longer have to fund the administrative cost. It becomes a part of Medicaid, just like all other services and administrative costs.
That's great.
Become a part of Medicaid.
All right. So if someone wants to be part of the pilot program, they have to live in Denver, though.
Yeah, and our you know, as we're doing this with Colorado, we are working with a advocacy coordinator out of D.C. that is working to do model legislation. So taking exactly what we did here in Colorado and starting it up in 5 other states, we can go to a federal level and say to the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services that we have done 6 pilot programs within our nation. Here's the cost effectiveness. Here's the improved quality of life. Why not make this available across the board within all states versus making each state have to fight and prove to you what we are showing you is has improved?
That's awesome. And so that the idea is that you'll have all this great data showing that you've saved them money, that you've made their health immensely better, and they weren't as sick in the years since they started these alternative therapies, and therefore, at the end of the day, they'll save money. That's the idea, basically, right?
Yes, and expand it to other populations and have it a Medicaid benefit. It should be an option.
I agree.
Yeah.
I was actually at my doctor's just about 2 weeks ago at the Courage Center, and they have all those great therapies there, but they have to pay for all of them out of pocket. And it's like great, but gosh, you know, I can't really afford the massage and the acupuncture. And I asked, does Medicaid pay for it? And the lady's like, are you kidding me? So, yeah.
Yeah. So we are looking at Minnesota to do a model of legislation in Minnesota. So having champions, legislators on the ground at the Capitol, as well as advocates in the state, to say, yes, we want to take what you've done in Colorado and we want to duplicate it here with with the support of the Tandem Plan Foundation in relationship to technical support, potential funding for administrative costs in those other states. And so there's a lot of potential. It's just like getting the right people on board to do the advocate and, you know, the groundwork, basically.
Wow. And I know, so, and people, do you actually have a brick and mortar location as well that people can visit in Denver?
Yes, we do have a facility, and so that's our other portion of the Chain of Plan Foundation.
Yeah.
We need to talk about systemic change, but on the other side of our mission is that we have what's called direct services. And so the two components of our direct services is that we do have a facility that offers acupuncture massage. So we just started doing adaptive yoga.
Awesome.
And then we have a location-based service, but then we also have what's a provider-based service. So the provider-based service is when we contract with providers all over the state to give the same services. So we have people in Chicago at Next Step Chicago. We have people in California at CORE that are getting funding to do that adaptive exercise component that most of us see from Project Walk, but all of these different places have a very different spin on how they do that adaptive exercise.
Oh, so if someone could actually fill out a form and request grant money from you if they have a spinal cord injury?
Yes. So they don't just have to have a spinal cord injury. They can have spinal cord injury, MS, okay. MD, CP, spina bifida,
wow.
brain injury. And so if anybody, any of those individuals, one of the things that we've had to do is narrow it to those populations utilizing a wheelchair 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Really, which is a really difficult situation for us, but we have to narrow it due to limited funding. But any of those individuals with any state within the U.S. can apply to us for to fund their integrative therapies that I mentioned, and that we contract. They even choose their provider, and we contract with that provider.
Wow.
Directly.
That is so cool, though. But you do have a yoga studio at your place, though. That is so people can come and do yoga, right, in a big class setting if they wanted to in the Denver area?
Yes. There's several adaptive yoga places here in Denver. I think that...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we brought Matthew out here a lot of times.
Yeah, you know, Liz Aslor, she's pretty great. I really like her.
Yes. So she does one, and Crystal, my sister, does one, and there's lots of other folks that are either doing it all over the state.
Wow.
So, it's really exciting.
Isn't this great? Who would have thought that, you know, taking 4 Percocet a day would have led to such an amazing thing? You know what I mean?
Say that again?
Who would have thought taking 4 Percocet a day would have led to this, such an amazing foundation? You know what I mean?
I know.
The chain of events.
I don't want to give the Percocet credit, but I totally agree.
It's just as fascinating, you know, when you have a spinal cord injury, how... I mean, your life, everyone, you know, can relate if you have something, acquired disability, but I just am so impressed that your foundation has done so much of this. So you must have a pretty large board of directors, huh?
Yeah, right now we have 8 members on our board, and we always strive from 9 to 12. We're in a period where we have 3-year terms, and so some folks are terming off the board, and we have some new fresh blood come on, so that's really awesome, because everyone new that comes on brings really amazing new energy and ideas to the plate, and so we're in recruitment mode for a couple others, and it's not as though we have to fight for those individuals. We're actually to a point in our longevity and reputation in our community that a lot of people come to us seeking to be on our board, which is really nice to see, because 5 years ago we couldn't have said that.
Right. I love that. And are you the executive director?
Yeah, I'm the executive director, and then we have an executive assistant, Maggie Stevenson, that handles all of our programs. So anybody that's listening and wants to, you know, look into that provider-based service, they can get a hold of Maggie, and that's all on our website.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll put all the links and everything on the podcast page so they can visit. So yoga, you know, do you get out of your chair when you do yoga, or do you ever do in-chair yoga?
It's funny because Matthew and a lot of us always debate about this, because yes, I'll do wheelchair yoga, but I love getting on the mat. Like, it's my favorite thing. And he's always, we need to also be open to that.
I know.
We don't always have to be on the ground. I'm like, whoa, I have to always be on the ground.
He's always like, we don't always have volunteers, Tiffany. I'm like, I know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you should tell me your favorite yoga pose.
Oh, yes. My favorite is we take the two yoga blankets.
Yep.
Rolling them up to where it feels like a bolster and mm-hmm. literally laying it along the parallel to the spine.
Yes.
Where the sacral slightly tips off the end of the yoga blanket with the feet up in the chair.
And you open up your chest, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the best feeling in the world. It's just like...
It's the chest opener. And a lot of people in wheelchairs don't realize they need that, you know? They need
it. Well, for me, it's like, yeah, there's some physical components, some significant physical components to what, the spine fluid and how gravity is pulling us into a way that we normally don't, mm-hmm. our bodies don't pull us into, because yep. as you know this very well, when we sit in our wheelchairs,
yeah.
gravity is pulling our chest in,
yep.
to have that moment of like not any, crunching of the spine, because when we sit, like I can see myself, like my spine is accordion going down, and so being in that position just feels... It just feels so light and so beautiful, and I feel it in my body everywhere. And I think that's so beautiful about Matthew's teaching and all of our teaching when it comes to mind-body connection, even with acupuncture, massage, and chiropractic, is that it's not just about where we can feel and where we can move, but it's like it's connecting with those pieces of the body that we can no longer feel, which is so critically important.
That's what I love too. When I first took his class and when I first met him, he was saying to me, push down through your feet, Tiffany, push down through your feet. And I looked at him and I said, you know very well I can't move my feet. And he's like, I don't care. I want you to push down through your feet anyways. So I did. And I got to tell you, I felt something, the energy, it's still in my body still. And it was turned off, or at least I wasn't paying attention to it until I started doing adaptive yoga. And I think, this, it's so exciting to kind of reconnect with your paralyzed body part, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of emotion there. There's a lot of pieces that obviously a lot of us could have, avoided because of the feelings and the emotions that it's brought forth that we've maybe been hiding for a really long time, but was so critical to bring out versus just, keep hiding it which comes with anything in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we all think that if we avoid it, it's going to go away, and it's just really important to know that actually avoiding never works. It's you got to listen to the body and listen to all sorts of things to really make your body happy.
So everybody out there, if you're listening, try yoga. So another component that the Chanda Plan Foundation does on a yearly basis, and it's like women to know or people to know, and I know that you had Amy Mullins. She was part of an event 1 year, and can you kind of tell us about what that's all about?
Yeah. So with the Chanda Plan Foundation, there's three ways that we raise money, which is special events, individual donors, whether that's a monthly, a major, or one-time donor,
mm-hmm.
And then we get grants. And so with a special event, people to know, what you just referred to,
yep.
is our largest special event in the sense that it's kind of like your major annual gala that nonprofits have, but ours is a little bit unique in the sense that it's not a black tie, it's very much cocktail, but the thing that most people love is that we bring speakers to our event. That's kind of the highlight of it. And it's usually people that have experienced some sort of challenge, and then therefore they speak upon that challenge and beyond what it's done within their past, current, and future life, and how that outlook looks for them, but how it could potentially look for others, particularly maybe in the same situation, or giving them mm-hmm. an idea about how looking at their life, if they don't experience that similar challenge, but something else, that they can look at challenges in a different way. And so we've had Amy Mullins that you just mentioned. We've had Aaron Ralston, who the movie 127 Hours, where he was armed with
Yes. Oh my
our
God.
loss. Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
He's
That's
a
very, I think that's,
speaker. Yeah, Matthew's been a speaker. Matthew's
yeah.
heard. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of great teachers
That's
there.
great. I'm so glad that your foundation is going so well and it's strong. I mean, you know, I think a lot of foundations, people form them and they don't really, you know, but what do you think the secret was to the Chanda Plan's success?
I think number one, the need. So obviously, most nonprofits should always be created and based off of a need. So knowing that there was a strong need for people with long-term disabilities that desired access to integrative therapies and needed it, that right there was something. But believing in the treatments and the success that people can have with integrative therapies, obviously, because when it saved my life, there's no reason why I wouldn't fight for it to be accessible to others that might be losing their own life to overutilization of narcotics and emergency room visits and all of those things that are not good for any of us, especially those that are living with something that's never going to go away. So I think just with that passion around knowing there's a need and knowing that have belief in what it is that we're fighting for is what keeps it really strong. And then having, obviously, not that it's not about me, that it's a community of people that have that same view of the need and the belief and supporting that need and belief, because the organization is not about me. It's about the people that we serve, and it's about our board of directors and our donors and everybody that gives their time and energy and surrounds this organization with a lot of love. And so I think that that's what's made it really successful. And you know, I've done a lot of research, but I haven't found any other nonprofit that's currently doing something similar
No,
in
there's
this
none.
way, where we're funding these treatments for the individual. I know that there's many that give the services, but you have to pay for them. And you know, one of the most frustrating things about having my injury, and I don't know, Tiff, if you can relate as well, I think most people can, that we have our injuries, and then there's these really great opportunities created for us, but it costs us so much obtaining those opportunities, right?
I
So
know.
like a hand cycle and adaptive kayak, and it's like, okay, awesome, I love that that's been created, but now how are
I
we, with this
know.
little money, able to access something that's so important to our quality of life and wellness?
It's kind of the catch 22 there. It's like I can't go buy a cheap $200 bicycle. I have to spend $1,500 on a hand bike, and unfortunately, a lot of people's abilities have a hard time getting employed. So it just none of it makes any kind of sense whatsoever. It's very, very frustrating. So I know, but I'm so excited. I was able to gosh get to know you, I guess I could say, learn more about what you guys are doing down there. I've met several people that have been down at through MindBody Solutions, and they just always say great things about you and about the foundation. And I really hope to one day come down there and meet you in person. So,
We would welcome that, Tiffany. We would hope that you would come here if you're
love it.
and or if we're in Minnesota, I'll come see you.
Yes, and I know. And you're since you're in Denver too. Quick question: you must do a lot of work with Craig Hospital then, or?
Yes, we do. We Craig Hospital has the Peak Center at Craig Hospital, which is very similar to those adaptive yoga kind of places that are popping up all over our nation right now. So we fund individuals to go there because, again, the Peak Center was created, but it's a fee for service. So anybody that wants to obtain those services has to pay out of pocket. And again, back to what we just said, there's many of those that don't have the funding. And so that's where we as an organization will come in and take applications and consider funding some treatment for them at the Peak Center. And there's
So
a lot
cool.
of other collaborations with Craig Hospital. They're a huge.
All I know is that there's a lot of great things happening down in Denver if you have a disability. I would kind of wish I lived down there, but awesome. So thank you again. Have a lovely evening, and you know, I will be keeping my eyes on what you guys are doing in the future, and I really hope that initiative at one day comes to pass and it's actually law. So we'll see.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.